Come on, come on. A little bit.
Are you still messing with that thing?
Yes, there's got to be somebody out there.
I'm telling you, my death ray killed everybody. You still owe me $5 for that, by
Wait,
the way.
Oh, I think I hear something. Almost. Hey, Andy, to the left.
This way, is that better?
No, that's the right.
Okay, hang on. How about now?
A little further. Oh, there we go. Oh, that's good.
Welcome to another episode of Epic. Today we are talking about apocalypse, post-apocalypse, pre-apocalypse, apocalypse preparedness, favorite apocalypse, whatever, anything apocalypse. With me here to talk about these apocalypse things is Andy.
Hey.
Joel.
How's it going?
Nuke Joss.
Hello.
And
hi, I'm Fred.
Doctor.
See, I have not interrupted your intro for four consecutive episodes now.
He needs a Wowie Pop.
Yes, and a gold star.
Gold star.
Achievement unlocked. Mark Ding. Didn't hit me.
So is it? I'm sitting right next to you,
is
too.
Is it apocalypses? Is it apocalypse-sized?
I told you, apocalypses is when there's one after the other after the other.
Apocalypses.
Apocalypses?
Oh.
It's a grammar joke, yeah.
Two terrible. People listening just laughed.
Is it a Tupac?
So our entire audience.
We asked our listeners. They both said. Thanks, guys.
Shane's loving it.
We didn't listen to the Tupacalypse changes. Is that what you're saying?
So.
Never mind. That was like a really dated hip hop reference.
Yeah. I said, did the Tupacalypse get shot?
You're showing your age, Joel.
Rackin'
this is why I never come back.
Isn't Joel like the youngest guy here?
Yeah, I think he is. Yes, he is.
Boom!
You're so old.
He's the youngest geriatric right. person I've ever met.
Before we and make somebody too. Cry, let's get on to the apocalypse's eyes. Apocalypses. Whatever.
On to the topic of apocalypse.
Hip hop apocalypse.
Do we have.
He's just going on.
There's a new kind of apocalypse. It's just a giant world-eating hippo.
Let's talk about our favorite apocalypse, the one we think lends itself to entertainment value.
The real
the
one.
The most. Which one is that, Andy?
I'll tell you when it gets here.
All right. Okay.
Okay, sorry about the squeaking.
Well, there was the artifact from the Cold War, what they called MAD. Which was the mutually assured destruction.
Right.
All the nuclear armed countries signed a treaty saying that we won't be the first ones to launch, but gosh darn it, if you throw them at us,
we're going
to
throw them back.
We're going to turn this into one giant glass bottom self lit parking lot.
Was that even a thing, though? Like, was there enough nuclear weapons?
Absolutely.
To do there, that?
I think
yeah.
They did an estimate. There's enough nuclear firepower on Earth now to blow up the Earth like 3 or 4 times or something.
In the 50s, 5 minutes to midnight, isn't that right?
In the 60s and 70s, they had the Salt and Start treaties, which was the U.S. and Russia sort of standing on the brink of the apocalypse and then realizing that they could, you know, this is a bit of hyperbole, but you know, they could crack the planet in half. Like they could kill all life on Earth by throwing up all the radiation and nuclear bombs. So they started to limit each other into the amount of warheads that they could have, the amount of bombers that they could have that could actually carry the nukes. And then they had to destroy the surplus. And they had to do it in such a way that the other side could see it. So when the U.S., they had to cut.
Let's explode some.
No, what they had to do was like chop the wings off bombers so they would put them out in the desert and they would wait for the Russian satellites to go overhead. They'd chop the wings off. Then they'd sit them out there for 3 days so the satellite could go back around and take photos and they could prove that they'd been cut up.
And now people write their names in their yards when the Google Earth satellites go by.
Mm.
Mm. Yes, we are still 5 minutes to midnight, by the way.
That's the death clock?
According to the doomsday clock, yes.
Yeah.
Is the website just
what does that take into consideration, that clock there? Is that if
everything.
They push the button right now, we would have 5 minutes grace before...
No, it's not that specific. It's more of a political thing.
Yeah.
The closer we get to midnight, the closer we are to the apocalypse. So it reminds me of that really hokey thing they do every Christmas where you know, there's some radio DJ who comes on the air and says, well, they tabulated up the cost of all of the 12 items of Christmas, and it's up 6% this year. Oh, gosh, inflation. It's the same thing with the Doomsday Clock. As it gets closer to midnight, you know, the political, the geopolitical thing around the world is getting worse, or it gets better, and then they back off the clock as we come closer to peace.
I like to prefer to think that just they're reading it wrong, and it's 5 minutes to noon. We got like a whole like 12 hours and five minutes.
So, I have a quote. According to the Bulletin, the group that created the Doomsday Clock, using the imagery of apocalypse, midnight, and the contemporary idiom of nuclear explosion, countdown to zero, to convey threats to humanity and the planet, adding that the clock has become an indicator of just how vulnerable the world is to nuclear catastrophe, climate change, and new potentially dangerous technologies.
Interesting. Don't look at me.
So maybe if we're going to talk about the apocalypse a little bit, I guess we're all drawing from fictional sources naturally because I don't think any of us have seen one.
Well, but I know we're because all if we did, waiting. We wouldn't really be recording this show.
Well, unless we were time travelers and went back in time because, you know, hello, dinosaurs.
He's getting here later.
You mean you're not? what are the ways that I know there's a lot of doomsday predictors out there, but what are the ways that the world is going to end?
Well, there's zombie apocalypse.
That's which a very popular tired. One
nuclear
today.
War.
That was a popular one in the past, Alien. Especially around the Cold War.
How many of you remember like learning about fallout shelters? I know that this one over here had duck and cover drills. What about you guys?
I've never had any kind of drills at all. We're in Canada.
Fallout shelter?
As soon as war broke out, people forget about us.
He's Canadian.
Canada is never included in those apocalypse movies.
No, we're always annexed, that's why.
We're annexed, yeah. Like, essentially everything's going to be gone but Canada.
But you're how the Russians are going to come over the top of the North Pole.
Well, that's why we're not going to die.
Oh, you welcome your new comrades.
We'll be like...
we welcome our new overlords.
We'll let them go through. It's like, you know, we hold the door open for people. So, we were listing off types of...
Alien invasion.
So alien invasion was the next one. Mm-hmm. Then there's like meteor.
Viruses.
Which kind of goes back to the zombie one a little bit.
Skynet.
Simon Pegg opening up a rip in the whole of fabric of reality.
Okay. Simon Pegg specifically?
Sure.
Sure.
If anyone's going to do it, he's pretty likely.
True. He's very suspicious.
That was the whole thing that they thought CERN was going to blow up the world.
Yeah. Oh, that was I remember that.
Spontaneous black hole.
And we've got Skynet, yes.
Skynet. Actually, Google's moving towards that. Because Google bought Boston Dynamics. And if you know what Boston Dynamics is, they're the lead...
I guess, DARPA researchers.
Yeah, and they make like robots.
The walking dog thing.
Actually, their current one is a bipedal robot.
Yep.
And if you've seen the videos, it's scary. It's right there in the...
It can go upstairs.
Uncanny Valley.
You could like side check it and it'll rebalance itself.
And they bought Nest, which is a lead home automation company. They make like thermostats and fire alarms and it's really kind of, they bought it for like $3 billion, and that led to a funny stock bump. There was a penny stock listed as NEST that went into like 1900% because people bought it up when they heard that Google bought Nest.
Listed
as Nest is like a what do they make? They make something unrelated.
Do they build nests for birds?
No. It was like they make stoplight cameras.
Google's going to buy them next.
Yeah, it's funny about that. Like Google is kind of moving towards being Skynet. I think they get self-driving cars. They now have bipedal robots, and now they know where your house is with Google Earth. They're going to know everything in your house.
They've known where my house is for the last 10 years.
And they don't know where mine is. The street view stopped just before my house.
Well, that's another that's heading towards a whole other type of apocalypse that was talked about a lot in, you know, and Japanese animation. Humanity, you know, gives so much to automation and machination, and we become so, we give in so much to the machines that eventually we stop being human.
Or the machines decide that we're redundant. There was a book I read, I think it was called Apocalypse, and it was about, essentially that's what happened is, they made this super intelligent computer, and it decided that, you know, the problem with the planet is people. And so essentially when it tried to kill everyone, we're using everything, like there was like robots and cars, and it was, the book was written in the perspective of, like kind of diary entries from different people.
Mm.
And it was really, really scary. Like it's like, you know, one of the excerpts was someone had seen a car that just rocketing down the road and off a pier into the ocean. There was people in there screaming and trying to get out, and it went off thing. And the part that stuck in my head was that as this car was sinking, the person that saw it couldn't help but he just saw this little tiny hand on the window. And yeah, it was just like that moment right there was just something that stuck.
And that hand was from his.
Didn't they do the same thing in iRobot? That wonderful
like that,
Will Smith movie that was out not too long ago.
Only okay, but that was based on an actual story.
And the robot in that was the rescuer.
Yes.
Yeah. But I guess I'd like to differentiate between two types of technical apocalypse that I think are being discussed. One that I'll call the Matrix apocalypse, which I think Andy is saying, where like the machines literally decide to just hit the abort button on the human race. Or the one where I think Fred is moving towards is what I'm going to call the Wall-E apocalypse, which is just that we surrender so much of our knowledge and understanding to technology that after a while, when it kind of farts, we don't know how to survive anymore.
Can I vote for the Wall-E option? Because hover chair and Slurpees that are food, Wall-E. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it worked out really well for them, too.
Yeah.
I really do want that hover throne, though.
Hover thrones.
Where they've been off their feet so long that they no longer have ankle bones or something like that.
They don't know
who needs out ankle bones? I mean, really.
The book was Robopocalypse, the one I was talking
That's
about.
That's a wonderful title.
It is.
That is great. That is your next sci-fi movie.
Are they making a film out of it?
Sifius, I bet you.
It was a good book.
Who wants to bet me a soda?
There's also the Big Brother kind of apocalypse. Well, it's more of dystopian.
Oh, yes.
An apocalypse.
The Hunger Games.
Yeah,
sort
the,
of
or the 1980, guy. Was it 1980?
1984.
Yeah.
There you go.
Couldn't be something easy. Joel, you had listed some really interesting apocalypse scenarios as laid out by Hollywood.
I drew upon the most reliable source I could find.
Which is Google, which goes back to.
So we've already talked about some, and I'm trying to categorize them that we had pathogens and you know some form of disease or virus. Zombies was a specific end of pathogens that I gave some credit to. Climate change or environmental. I think there's also like the slow death, which I think unfortunately humanity is on that path right now.
We're doing it.
We're doing it now. Or like a big boom, like a super volcano. I know is a theory out there where the Earth basically just rejects humanity.
Apparently,
in one big event.
They found a couple of more super volcanoes on Earth. Like there's a famous one. It's the Yellowstone. National Park is a super volcano.
Old Faithful, is a super volcano. When
that's Yosemite.
It's not an if. It's going to happen.
That's Yosemite.
Yosemite. Yeah.
Yeah. And when it blows, the caldera is so large and it'll throw so much stuff into the air. I think the last thing it would bury the Earth under 2 inches of ash.
The entire planet.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yep. We're done.
Yeah. Our solution is to drop a nuke into it, right? Because that's our usual solution for things.
No, we got to throw virgins into it.
Oh, okay.
Can we throw Joe into it? Joe the volcano.
Joe versus volcano.
I'm showing
Joel.
My age now. Yes, can we throw Joel into it? Just randomly.
I guess I get to be first.
Dang.
Just check and see if it's warm enough.
Some other ones that I had explored were, I just said nuclear fallout. I know we talked about nuclear war, but I think we're...
Nuclear.
Nuclear, not nuclear. Whoops.
It depends. If the Americans launch it first, it's nuclear.
We can have 2.5 apocalypses.
But that could be through other means, like something like Chernobyl, only on a much grander scale, wouldn't be war, but we'd still basically hit control delete on the planet.
Well, how close did we come with Fukushima?
Yeah, exactly. And I guess I heard a story from when they still had nuclear subs going around, or maybe they still do. Did I just say nuclear again?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Super.
You're an engineer, right?
A Russian sub almost had a double nuclear meltdown in the Pacific. Mm-hmm. And that would have been like, whoop, world's oceans are done. Like,
okay, so for the zombie apocalypse, the key component there is to always have friends that are slower than you.
Indeed.
Yes. This is true. Yes. And always have friends who know how to do stuff.
You don't have to be the fastest, just not the slowest.
Just have a whole lot of baby pigs you could throw out the car.
As much as I love New York, don't live in New York. You can't get out. There's nothing there. There's people on top of you. You can't escape the zombies.
You can go to the top floor of a building and just kind of
and wait for them
imagine
to come
it'd be
to the
very defendable.
Become Spider-Man.
It?
Well, you wouldn't have any water up there. That'd be part of it. Well, depending where
rain
you
barrels.
Giant. Yeah. Well, some of the buildings have giant rain catchers on them, don't they?
Yes. Yeah. With gargoyles and all sorts of fun.
But what if the atmosphere you'd have to, is screwed? Then the rain will be screwed.
Exactly.
Well, the one apocalypse at a time.
And the gargoyles are only active at night, so you're good there. They're protecting you when you're sleeping.
There you go.
And they can go out for food for you.
Get yourself in a prison, because they're very defendable, according to
unless you're in the prison when it all breaks out, in which case you're trapped inside the prison in a little tiny cage where no one's going to let you out and you're going to starve to death.
See, my plan is simple. We live in Canada. Go to your nearest army base and tell them you know how to do stuff.
That's even where they're doing the experiments that break out in the first place.
You're forgetting. We live in Canada. Winter.
Exactly.
Zombies
can't survive in winter.
The zombie
apocalypse. But they're going to be Canadian zombies. They'll be all ready for that. They'll be like these zombies with
scarves
wrapped around them. And
zombie hockey players skating their way down Main Street.
But that's actually kind of terrifying.
The zombie apocalypse would last at most one summer season in Canada, and then winter would roll along, and then you'd just have to clean up the frozen corpses, and then by next
pretty much,
year,
yeah,
you'd be all stuck
look,
to
the leaves are turning, and the zombies are falling.
You know, I used to complain about 8-foot snowbanks, but now I don't mind so much.
Damn it, there's a leg stuck in my snowblower again.
Mythbusters did an excellent episode recently about busting the myths of various zombie scenario with some really interesting results. One was that an axe is more effective than a gun. If in a very specific situation where the zombies are coming at you from all directions, it lets you survive 20 seconds longer.
Yeah, the caveat
you still
is
die
is,
though.
Yeah, the caveat is you're not going to live. You'll just live a bit longer. Yeah.
But if you're far away, a gun will, you know, a far shooting gun will definitely help you.
I actually wrote a whole article.
Except it will then gather extra zombies and they'll hear the gunshots and you're screwed either way.
It's not a suppressor.
Yes, to read Tech's article on how to survive the zombie apocalypse and what kind of weapons you want to use, check the show notes.
Yes.
But the whole idea that, you know, how would you fight the zombie horde and what kind of guns would you carry? And I've read some really, really stupid articles. Well, the only thing better than a pistol is a pistol in each hand, and that'll take the zombies down. No, if you have time to put a pistol in each hand and shoot zombies, you have time to run.
Yeah. Yep.
And just like you said, you're not going to live, but you might live longer. So try to stretch out that one life you've got.
I think a 50 caliber would work pretty well.
You don't
well.
Need a 50 caliber, though. I mean, it's kind of overkill, don't you think?
Well, no. Like, if you're in a defensible position and you know, it's a place where you've picked you want to live and you've got a 50 cal, I mean, you don't really
need clear sight lines all around you?
You don't need to hit the zombie in the head with a 50 caliber. They kind of explode when they get with those rounds, don't they?
Well, it all depends what type of ammo you're using. But yeah, the projectile weighs a tenth of a pound. It's the size of your thumb. It's moving at over 2,000 feet per second. It's carrying a lot of energy. It hits stuff. It makes soup.
Well, yeah, I've seen videos on YouTube, the combat footage, where people have been shot with the 50 cals and like they turn into mist.
It's salsa with bones in it. Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. But that also being said,
salsa.
If there was a zombie virus nowadays, you're hungry. my main beef with the zombie flicks and the zombie things is that, you know, their brain doesn't work anymore and they shuffle around. But that doesn't change what your body is made out of. Your muscles need oxygen. They need blood to function, to move, to actually propel you.
Well, that's why they eat, succulent brains.
Yeah, but
to nourish
you see
themselves.
The ones missing arms or, you can see inside them or, the skin on their face is so rotten it comes off. But if you're at that point, you're not standing. You're not moving around.
Yeah, because you'd still need blood to power the muscles.
Yeah.
Or
your bones to hold your body together. Mm-hmm. This also brings up another topic. Why is it that ordinary or out of shape people that are turned into zombies are suddenly super strong? They may not be fast, but they're all strong. Zombieism will not make you any stronger. So that kid you used to beat up, you can still beat up.
Just don't let him bite you.
And they're less well. That as well is if your face is so rotten that the skin is coming off, how hard could you possibly bite?
Yeah.
And also, if your bite is contagious, what about all the blood that's going to be squirting in your face when you're killing them with your stick?
Yeah, why is it that the teeth are so important?
Yeah. Gingivitis. That's what it is.
It's gingivitis.
By gingivitis.
Our dentists have been warning us of this apocalypse for years and no one listened.
You fools, you've ignored me for the last time.
If only you'd brushed and flossed.
Oh, boy.
Hoard Listerine. Hoard it like it's gold.
there's your epic top tip right there. Hoard the mouthwash.
Hoard the mouthwash.
Hoard everything. By the way, you know,
canned foods.
You know what's better than an axe?
Two axes?
A hooligan tool.
What is that like?
Oh, is that the
that runs out and kills stuff for you?
No. I think it's like a crazy hammer pick. Look,
it's a demolition tool.
Yeah,
you can find it at Home Depot. It's awesome.
It's a.
Are you speaking from personal killing experience?
Yes.
No, officially no.
Let's just say that when I pick it up, I feel like Buffy when she holds that side. It's like, wow, I could do so much.
Does anybody else find when you go to a hardware store and you see the crowbars, you just happen to pick one up and like Half-Life
Yeah.
flashes through your head for a little while?
The Half-Life one had it looked like it was wood. The shaft of it was made out of wood, though. Have you ever noticed that?
I think that was just crummy graphics.
Yeah, maybe. Or rust, or maybe it was supposed to be rust.
15 years ago?
Yep.
More tips for surviving the apocalypse. Anything that can help you generate power, I think, is useful. So if you've got one of those wind-up battery machines, those are kind of neat. Go and steal everything from Ed Begley Jr.'s house. That would make...
Who?
Who?
The actor Ed Begley Jr. is one of the spokespeople for clean, green energy. Nothing in his house works without manpower. So if he wants to watch TV, he's got to get on the treadmill or he's got to get on a bicycle or something like that.
That must be the most tired man in history.
Or the most fit man in history.
He looks
How long does
tired.
This turkey have to cook for? 6 hours. Oh, man. I hate this place.
Do you really need to download this movie?
I'm going to take a break. No, wait. Ah, damn. Yeah. A still is a good thing to have.
Heck yeah.
Because it can produce fuel.
Mm-hmm.
It can produce antiseptic.
Mm-hmm.
And it can make you forget your troubles.
Yeah, that's the most important part. I'm not a drinker, but I support the still.
Modern flex fuel cars can run on very, very, very high proof.
Speaking stilled, of that, older cars can too, and even not flex fuel. MythBusters did an episode on that. They did a
very recently, yes,
yeah, a moonshine episode, and they found that was it the old carbureted one would start.
Mm-hmm.
It would be very poor driving. The mid, not quite as old car,
nineties fuel injection
one ran.
Mm-hmm.
But
did the 90s one run? I thought it stalled out and you couldn't get it to go again.
Oh, maybe they stalled it out after a while. And then the current one, the 2014 non-flex fuel, they mentioned that specifically, ran perfectly fine on moonshine.
Mm-hmm.
Mileage was really crappy.
But the performance
is the same.
Let's not distill. When they refine the petroleum in to make the different grades of
fuel. Yeah.
They're basically all the same, just at different levels of purity and different weights. So diesels are really, really good at that. And that diesel, kerosene, naphtha, aviation gas, and, those famous, they're all the same thing. And diesels will run on all of them. You just got to change your filters. It's the same thing that, diesels can now run on, fry oil?
Cooking oil.
Yep.
Cooking oil, yeah.
Eco-fuel.
And your car smells like French fries instead of diesel fuel.
Mm. Yep.
So please run your cars off of French fry oil, please.
A friend of mine's father retrofitted a diesel generator so that it would run on cooking oil.
Mm-hmm.
Someone, our program director knows, I think it was, had done that to a Volkswagen Golf.
Yep. The only thing is the startup. In cold weather, it's almost impossible. So you need to have a switchover.
So no in Canada.
Well, yeah. Well, you
could switch it over. So you can start on a regular fuel. Once it's warmed up, you switch it over to the other tank.
Oh, okay.
Or you can get like heaters that keep the fuel at a certain temperature and a heater for the engine so that it doesn't ice up.
Yeah.
So we talked about canned goods very briefly. Canned goods are all well and good. How many people know how to open them without a can opener?
I think most people could figure it out whether they...
Have you ever tried to open a can without a can opener?
It is very difficult.
I have a bandsaw.
I know how to do it.
Is there but some kind of life hack that you would have to open a can without a can opener?
Tune in next
Tune in next week.
As a matter of fact, there is one of a guy opening it with a what do they call those things? Those concrete stones you have at the end of parking spots to...
Oh, the barriers there?
Yeah, those little like 6-inch high concrete barriers. The guy opens canned goods.
With that?
With that.
But how would you carry it around with you?
Yeah, I know. It's awful bulky. But
it is.
Just do what Popeye did and just squeeze the can one-handed and launch the food in the air and catch it in your mouth.
Mm.
Right.
There's one thing that I think I'm learning in this conversation is that resourcefulness...
Is not at this table.
Is going to reign supreme. So basically, if you're of a profession, you know who you are, i.e. lawyers, etc., you're screwed when the apocalypse happens.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is an apocalypse...
If you didn't bring it about yourselves.
If this is an apocalypse that has, you know, killed electricity or the information age, all of you guys with tech degrees who went into tech jobs, I'm sure. Suck it.
What? You are totally going to need a graphic artist.
Besides, I can Google anything I need to know.
Yeah, well, Google will still be around. They'll be the evil overlords, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
you'll be able to look out. You'll be able to search how to find. You'll be able to Google how to start a fire, but then Google will know where you are, and you're going to die.
Siri, how do I stop the rampaging horde of Google bots?
Sit down. Stay calm and close your eyes. It will all be over soon. Shush, shush. There.
The phone starts to vibrate calmingly.
For our listeners, they need to read the short story "When Sysadmins Rule the World" by Cory Doctorow, by the way. This speaks of an apocalypse from the perspective of sysadmins in Toronto keeping the internet alive. It's really amazing.
What are they going to do without porn?
There's also an escape pod.
We must keep the internet alive.
There's also an escape pod audio version for those of you that prefer audio.
Mm-hmm.
Put that in the show notes.
Well, I'll try to put that in the show notes, yes.
I'll tell you, pornrock.com just sucks. I mean, it doesn't do anything. It's just a rock. Some people like it. Andy's a huge fan of it. Oh, look at that rock.
Oh, it's so igneous.
It's so igneous.
So the twilight of our episode of apocalypse.
The episode is ending. Run!
So that's the end of our episode on apocalypses, whatever. Preparing for apocalypse. We're talking about apocalypse. The apocalypse we like. The apocalypses we hate. We are going to leave you with these epic words from T.S. Eliot. This is the way the world ends. Not with a bang, but a whimper. Want more epic? You can find extended episodes, show notes, Facebook, Twitter, and contact links online at geekglue.com, where you can subscribe via RSS, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and more. Epic is produced in partnership with CHSR 97.9 FM Radio in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada. Listen live online at chsrfm.ca. This episode of Epic is licensed under Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported Creative Commons.
Which is really funny because want to tell if I'm on fire.
Well, the funny thing is there's actually a company that
they want to index it in their search engine. You do a search for Nukejoss and it says Nukejoss is currently on fire.
I'm always on fire, baby.
How about we try to come up with some ideas to give our users the leg up on the apocalypse? Things that little hints, tricks,
okay.
Tips.
Did
I say users?
People use us.
Well, all the time.
They don't use you?
Sorry, our listeners.
Our listener.
I've been coding too much.
Is that
much
why you told me to not wear pants today?
I've been using Epic again. I'm sorry.
Look, Madge, I soaked in Epic.
Twilight of our episode is when we all start to sparkle and make money and then everyone hates us.
If that's how the world ends, I'm all for it.
Yeah, bring on the apocalypse.
Yeah, well, we'll be a cold day in hell before we make money on this show. But anyway...